Any big stories that you covered between 67 and 72 while you were in Washington?
I mostly covered stories involving Oklahomans. We depended on the wires for general coverage, but I had a couple of breaks. One thing is that an Oklahoman became Speaker of the House while I was there, Carl Albert. So I covered his office and his elevation to the House and his career there, and that was important. The other thing was that Fred Harris, although a junior senator, made a lot of news as a Democratic Party figure. Humphrey's co-campaign manager was Senator Mondale in 68, and he became Democratic national chairman after Humphrey's defeat.
Hubert Humphrey.
Yeah, Hubert. The 68 convention was a very big story. I wrote some stories that were well received by my bosses from that. Also, we had a big change in the makeup of the congressional delegation with the arrival of Senator Bellman.
I'm going to come back to those. But then you returned to Tulsa in 72 as an associate editor, and then you were named editor of the editorial page in 1981.
Yeah.
And then since 94, then, you were senior editor and columnist.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some of the issues while you're back here now in Oklahoma that you took on, like racial justice or racial injustice.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you were at OU when the school was integrated in 48 and 50.
That's right.
Tell us about the school before integration and then what changes you saw as integration set in.
I worked on the Daily, the Oklahoma Daily, the student newspaper, for most of the time I was at OU those 2 years. But I couldn't find anything that I had actually covered or written about Ada Lois Scipio Fisher or G.W. McLaurin, the two students who broke the barrier there at OU. Because I did work for the Daily, I talked to a lot of people about it and probably knew a lot more about it and had a lot greater interest in it than just an ordinary student would have, because it was a subject, as you can imagine, for discussion in journalism classes in particular. And I had a very strong interest in it. As a matter of fact, very strong feelings about it. I went over to the education department, I guess it was, where the building, to see the arrangement that they had over there for G.W. McLaurin, one of the two black applicants. They had admitted him on the orders of the Supreme Court, but this brilliant state of ours had decided that even though the court said that he had to have an equal education and had to attend OU, that he would still have to be segregated, because that part of the law, they said, hadn't been decided. So they put him in a separate enclosure up there at the back of the classroom. I wrote a story about it later, called it The Man in the Glass Cage. He was enclosed and prohibited from sitting down with the rest of the students. The same arrangement was made for Ada Lois Scipio. This has outraged me, and it changed my whole worldview about race and civic life in general and how things are supposed to work.
Did it outrage other journalism students?
It outraged a lot of people, and to credit, including most of all, the president of the university, George L. Cross. But he is a servant of the state of Oklahoma and, of course, has to carry out rules and laws and rulings. But he became a friend and counselor of these students, especially Ada Lois Scipio. And I've talked to her later about all this, and she said he told her, just hang in there. We'll get this straightened out, and just be patient. And that's exactly what happened. They went back to court. Of course, the court didn't take 10 minutes to tell them, look, when we say we're going to give these people equal education, we mean just what we say. That's what they told them. So they had to take all that stuff down.
So then the United States Supreme Court said, no, we mean equal education. That means they'll be treated the same in a classroom as anybody else.
They also had separate quarters and separate tables marked off in the cafeteria at the student union. That was, of course, thrown out, too.
So you had that in your memory bank.
Yeah.
Then as you moved forward in your life, it was something that you did write about and editorialize about, I would imagine.
Right.
But then you were in the Army when President Truman's integration order went into effect in 50 and 52.
Well, I had similar experience in the Army because I was in units that had not been integrated up to that time, but were integrated or were on the edge of being integrated when I was there. First at Camp Polk in the station complement there. the housekeeping unit that I belonged to, got orders that they would be integrated. I heard the grumbling and everything and mumbling a little bit there from that, but I left before it happened. Then in Japan, the 45th was integrated, and our battalion started with two lieutenants. One of them was a lawyer and one was an accountant, and I got acquainted with them. That went very well. Everybody in our battalion were good soldiers, and they just obey orders. And the other thing is, they're good guys, and they see it up close. They know fair play when they see it. But what struck me about these guys, one of them in particular went into detail to tell me that he was going to try to stay in the regular Army because he always wanted to be overseas. He said, when I get through here, if I don't get an assignment in Japan, I'm going to try to go to Germany, and if not Germany, find some other place. I said, why would you want to do that? Well, he says, because of the way I'm being treated when I go back to the United States, why would I want to go back there? Here's a guy that's up there and fixing to go fight for this country that knows that if he goes back to his own country, he's going to be treated as second-rate citizen. And this really got my goat.
Yeah. And OU and integration then became the law. Did all the students on campus accept it, or were there those who objected to it?
There were some incidents, but in all fairness to OU, I think they were very much the exception rather than the rule. We'd have a story every once in a while about a cross being burned or something, but mostly people were pretty decent about it, and a lot of people just weren't too interested in it.
In the early 60s, we have Martin Luther King and his peaceful demonstrations and all. Did you have any encounter with him?
I had one brief encounter with him that didn't amount to a hill of beans, except that later on I could tell everybody I talked to Martin Luther King, but he was going to visit Houston to talk about a drive there to get the theaters integrated. At first, the business people there at the Chamber of Commerce said they'd like to meet with him at the Petroleum Club. These Houston civic leaders kind of wanted to make a point of showing their willingness to get this problem solved. But then that somehow got into dispute and kind of an embarrassing situation. I never knew the exact details of it. The meeting for him was set up at Houston University, and he was in, I think, Birmingham at the time, or one of the places where he had other
Selma
going. He canceled his appearance there, but the meeting went on, and I went out there to cover it, and he was going to address it by telephone, which he did, and then set up a phone connection, and he addressed this crowd. Then this young woman who was an MC, I said, if you get a chance to tell Dr. King that the UPI reporter here would like to talk to him. She did. He said, well, put him on. So I said, well, I just wanted to get an idea of what's going on there. And he says, well, we're talking and we think maybe we're going to get something worked out or some not very newsworthy thing. But I was able to call UPI and get a new lead written on their story. So it was very worthwhile. It wasn't great big story by a long shot, probably something that he kind of said the same thing more or less on the scene, but it goes back to the Southland where everybody's interested in this, and it's a pretty good story.
You were getting attention here, I would imagine, in your career, because it seems like you were in the right place, right time, many times.
Sometimes I was. Sometimes I'd be in the right place and not do too well, but in that case, that was a very good thing and a great memory for me.